Born today, a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Good morning, and we trust that you're listening in and that you're getting ready for your Christmas celebrations. You're joining us in our home in St. Leonard's-on-Sea, and as we've been saying to Mike, probably we may be able to walk along the beach and enjoy the warm winter weather. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been reflecting upon the Christmas story. 2 weeks ago, we enjoyed singing carols accompanied by Sussex Brass, a wonderful opportunity to invite friends and neighbours. We, in fact, invited several. Sally, who has been cleaning Doreen's apartment since we moved here in 2014, came with her mother, her sister, a fellow cleaner, and her mother, and really enjoyed the event. We also took a neighbour who texted me to say, "Thank you for a lovely Christian morning. I truly enjoyed the experience, much appreciated." And she said, "I'm seriously contemplating going to church again." We were very encouraged and pray that we will have many more opportunities to see her and her husband come to faith in Jesus. Since that visit, both her and her husband have agreed to start attending Sunday worship services. The Christmas morning time of fellowship has always been the first thing we do on Christmas Day. Later we will be joined by John and Jan, as we've said just now, and their family from London. The scripture we have chosen is taken from the message of the angel at the precise moment Jesus our Lord was born into the world. F.B. Meyer, quite an old commentator, says, "The manger bed and its precious occupant are among the most cherished memories of our childhood. But as we come there in later life, the wonder ever grows. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." Before we read the accounts of the amazing event, let us remind ourselves that the story of Christmas, which has been unfolded to us over these past 2 weeks in our various churches, covers a period of over 2 years. Many paintings and cards received at Christmas show Joseph and Mary, the baby, the shepherds and the wise men from the east, all together around the manger. Luke reminds us that the story begins when the angel Gabriel visits Mary, a 15-year-old young woman engaged to be married to a man called Joseph in her hometown of Nazareth. Francis is going to read the story.
The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And Mary said to her, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Upon her agreement, the seed of the Son of God was planted in her womb. God's work had begun.
Charles Wesley, in his hymn, "Let Earth and Heaven Combine," wrote these words. He says, "Our God, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man." Let me unpack that a little. Incomprehensibly means not able to be understood. It's the mystery of godliness that Paul speaks of in his letter to Timothy. A span is the distance from one end of the thumb to the end of the little finger of a spread hand. Many years ago, we were asked to go immediately to Great Ormond Street Hospital in London, where one of our church members had given premature birth to a baby which they did not anticipate would survive. We arrived, put on gowns, and went to the room where I held this newborn baby in my hand and prayed for him. I do not think they expected the baby to live. It was so small that I did not need to hold it in both hands. And I still remember that story as clear as it was yesterday. The Lord saved that baby boy, and we've had the privilege to meet him on a couple of occasions since. He's now in his 40s, of course. It was a long time ago. It's an interesting thought that God, who created the world, holds us in the palm of his hand. The Apostle John tells the story of the coming of the Lord from before the foundation of this world. He says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Both Mary and Joseph were residents of Nazareth, but the scripture had declared that the birth of the Son was to be in Bethlehem. In the book of Micah, it records these words, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." So God moved the ruler of the world in which they both lived for them to take a 70-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem.
Luke reminds us that it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his brother's wife, who was great with child. The journey was long and difficult, especially for a young woman great with child. It would normally take 4 days to walk from Nazareth to Bethlehem, but for Mary they would have needed 7 days, considering setting up camp each night and resting on the journey during the days.
Bethlehem was a shepherd town. Gordon Day, in an article in his website, writes, "On a recent visit, I reflected more deeply on the place of the shepherds in the story of Jesus' birth. The importance of their work to ensure that the Passover celebrations at the Temple of Jerusalem were provided with sacrificial lambs hit me for the first time. Bethlehem is only 5 miles south of Jerusalem, and is in a traditional, is a sheep farming district that has existed from at least the time of David, the faithful shepherd boy who became king of Israel. In the time of Jesus, thousands of families would arrive for Passover. Some estimates are up to 1 million people. They would all need to buy a 1-year-old lamb to sacrifice for their Passover meal to take place. The rebuilding of the temple before and during the time of Jesus had hugely increased the number of Jews from near and far who arrived for Passover each year. It was a massive annual operation. These Bethlehem shepherds, who were raising their lambs every year for the above, were that night sleeping. The Lamb of God, as he was even lying in an animal feeding trough. What an extraordinary thing. Why had I not perceived this before, he says. The other crucial food for the Passover celebration was unleavened bread. It's interesting that the word Bethlehem means house of bread. For Christians, there is a sense in which bread replaces lamb. We are also invited in heart and mind to the Last Supper and wonder at the command of Jesus to do this in memory of me. The Lamb of God invites us to look to the cross and then to enjoy his continuing sacramental presence through the bread and wine in this transformational way. I've always wondered at the link between the death of Jesus and the receiving of bread and wine. I now find myself increasingly captivated by the link between the birth of Jesus and the bread and wine, his longing to be present today through those who receive him, so he can continue to walk the streets of our villages, towns and cities. It's a source of much inspiration and conviction. Our desire to see the church reshaped through intentionally adopting his mission priorities is only made real as we welcome him and appreciate his lowly presence among us, the body of Christ today. I invite you to go in heart and mind to Jerusalem. I invite you to go in heart and mind to Bethlehem and do more wandering this Christmas. Luke says, so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Joseph and Mary were both of the line of David, and it was required that they should be there for the census. Historians remind us that Bethlehem was a place full of caves where shepherds would keep their flocks and baby lambs. Rick Renner reminds us that the cloths that were used were strips of material for wrapping the little legs of newborn lambs. There were animals all around Jesus on that night as he was born. Most likely little lambs and a shepherd or two were among them. That being the case, these bandages or strips of material, swaddling clothes, would have been available in the cave where Jesus was born. Thus the strips of cloth that were normally used to wrap the legs of newborn lambs were this night used by Mary to wrap up baby Jesus, the Lamb of God. Isn't that amazing that Jesus' first appearance on earth symbolically foreshadows his purpose in coming to be the Lamb of God? John the Baptist said of Jesus in John's Gospel, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Luke goes on to say, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Today is Christmas Day. For the first 300 years of Christianity, it wasn't so. In an old list of Roman bishops compiled in AD 354, these words appear for AD 336, December the 25th. Christ born in Bethlehem, Judea. This day, December the 25th, is the first recorded celebration of Christmas. The first 300 years of the church's existence, birthdays were not given much emphasis, not even the birth of Christ. The day on which a saint died was considered more significant than his or her birth, as it ushered him or her into the kingdom of heaven. Christ's baptism received more attention than his birthday and was generally 6 feet of epiphany. No one knows for sure on what day Christ was born. One early century monk was the first to date all of history from December the 25th, the year of our Lord. It is certain that the angel appeared immediately our Lord was born, and within minutes the cry went out to the host of heaven. Notice the word lo. It means bewilderment, shock, amazement, and wonder that the first angel came upon the shepherds. The glory of the Lord shone around. Thus the arrival caught them by surprise. It was a sudden, surprising, dazzling event. Immediately following the angel's arrival, the hosts of heaven arrived at the scene.
Notice too that the angel reveals that the baby born this night was the Saviour of the world, and the Christ, the coming Messiah, and the Lord of heaven and earth. That night Jesus was born, there was a supernatural manifestation of the massive angelic host of heaven. They came to salute their commander-in-chief, who was just beginning his earthly assignment. Looking into the face of Jesus was the first time they could look directly into the face of God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world, received the glory.
Today is Christmas Day. The message of the angel was, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The following story reveals the dynamic power of receiving Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives. May this be our continuing experience today. It was Christmas Eve. Jim Prince, a tall, strapping 18-year-old, loved to play football. On his first day in the frontline trenches in Belgium in 1914, he passed some bread to a fellow soldier who, rising to take it, stuck his head above the parapet. A German sniper's bullet killed the soldier instantly. Some 250,000 Allied and German troops were killed or wounded in the month-long battle that autumn. The First World War became bogged down in deadlock. The opposing sides were hidden in cold, waterlogged trenches extending from the English Channel to the Swiss border. Graham Williams, aged 32, of the London Rifle Brigade, peered over the parapet towards the German lines. Normally, no man's land was filled with shadowy figures darting here and there, some reconnoitering, others trying to retrieve dead and wounded. Tonight, however, an eerie stillness hung in the crystal clear air. He saw a light in the east just above the German trenches and too low to be a star. Williams was surprised that no one shot at it. He saw another. Suddenly, lights were all along the enemy trenches as far as the eye could see, Then, from a German trench no more than 50 metres away, a chorus of the richest baritones Williams had ever heard began singing Silent Night, Holy Night. When the carol was finished, Williams' regiment cheered and sang the first Noel. The mutual serenading went on for an hour. In Jim Prince's part of the front line, a German sang Silent Night standing on top of a parapet, a perfect target. Prince's regiment responded with While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. Then amazingly, the Germans started walking towards the British, followed by half a dozen others, all unarmed, with hands in their pockets. For a moment, it looked as if they were surrendering. But the British started climbing out of their trenches too. Jim Prince was among them. 5 metres from the German he had been shooting at, he stopped and they spoke to each other. Why do we fight? The German said. Recalling this extraordinary moment many years later, Prince admitted, I still do not know the answer. But peace swept through no man's land. Soldiers from both sides shook hands, laughed, insisted that they bore no malice against each other, and vowed to continue the truce throughout the coming day. Christmas Day dawned, cold, clear, and peaceful. Have a wonderful day and enjoy with the family.